Now, I mentioned for those who were in back that I did get a COVID test this past week, one of those official nasal swab deals. I don't have COVID, okay? I'm hoarse. I'm not a horse. I'm kind of big, but I'm not a horse. I'm having some issues with my throat a bit. So I will be probably drinking a little bit more. Don't worry, it's just water. Okay. Found a story. As you know, I like to start with a story. And I debated this story. I'm going to do this story anyway. Okay. One day, a nun. See, there's the problem, right? I shouldn't have given it. Okay. Anyway, one day this nun, who worked for a local home health care agency, was out making her rounds when she ran out of gas. Thankfully, there was a gas station just down the street, so she walked down to the station to borrow a can of gas, to get enough gas in her car so she could drive back to the station and fill up. The gas station attendant regretfully told her that the only gas can they owned had just been loaned out, but if she would just care to wait a few minutes, he was sure that the can would be back soon. Of course, she was in a hurry, so she walked back to her car to see what she had as a substitute for her gas can, Well, working for a home health care agency, she recognized that she had a bedpan that she was going to bring to a patient. So being rather intuitive, you know, she was being creative here. She took the bedpan back to the gas station, filled it with gasoline, and then she carried it back to her car. Just as she was pouring the gas from the bedpan into the tank of her car, a couple of men drove by. One turned to the other and said, "Now that's what I call faith." But think about that, though. You know, I mean, what kind of things might your faith cause you to do? The truth is, there's a big difference between the faith that we say that we have and the faith that we really have. In other words, sometimes our walk doesn't always measure up to our talk. You know, saying that we have faith in God is one thing, but really putting our trust in God is another. And so today, as we continue our Faith That Works sermon series by looking at the book of James, we are in James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 26. And in that text, James writes about us not being just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So let's go ahead again and read James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. There James writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. The scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. The same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and set them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, when we look at that text three times, right? Three times in verses 17, 20, and 26, we're told that faith without works is dead. In other words, faith without good works, without good deeds, without being shown in the things that we do is an empty faith. It's a pointless faith. It's a useless faith. It's a dead faith. It's a faith that does not save. You say, wait a second. We can have a faith that does not save? Well, that's why we need a faith that saves. So let's back up and take a look at our text here. And we're going to notice the difference between what a saving faith is and what it is not. And first up is a saving faith is not just something we say. Saving faith is not just something we say. Again, back there in James chapter 2 and verse 14, James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" Now, James doesn't say that the person in question has faith, but just that that person claims to have faith. And that's because this kind of a person just talks about having faith, you know? They say all the right things, they know all the churchy phrases, and those are the kind of people that, you know, talk about their faith and all kinds of cool things, but they have no deeds, you know? Back before COVID, a general survey of the United States showed that 90% of the people asked said that they believed in God, but of those who said that they believed in God, just 50% had been to a church in the past 3 months, and 30% they hadn't been to any kind of a church service in a year. In another poll, 4 out of 5 Americans claimed to be Christians, but they said that what they believed had little or nothing to do with how they lived their lives. Point is, just because people claim they have faith, just because people say that they're Christians, doesn't mean a thing unless it's shown by the things that they do. Jesus said it this way, as Jesse read so eloquently for us this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Sadly, not everyone with a Christian bumper sticker has a saving faith. Again, saving faith is not just something we say. Second, a saving faith is not just something we feel. Now, no one's saying that Christianity can't be full of emotions. Jesus was a passionate man full of emotion. We've been studying the Gospel of John Sunday nights in Zoom. We just went through John chapter 11 where Jesus wept. Clearly, Jesus was an emotional man. You know, we can be emotionally moved about things. We can be emotionally moved in worship. We could be emotionally moved in our interactions with others. You can have all kinds of emotion, but never act concretely or positively on those emotions. And sadly, what's true today was true back in James' day. And so he shares yet another one of his hypothetical case studies. Remember last week when we were in James, we talked about the rich and the poor visitors who came to church. Well, here in verses 15 through 17, James asks, "Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food." Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, Dennis, who I'm sure most of you have met, and he's apparently visited here in the past, back when Kurt was here, related to Garth and all these things. Not Garth Brooks, but the other Garth Smith. And there you go. He noticed my Peanuts tie. Y'all see me wear my Peanuts tie. I wore this today just for this occasion. You know I like the Peanuts. Anyway, take a look at this classic Peanuts strip. It's an old one because you can tell by the way things are drawn on the Peanuts strip. Here we see that it's wintertime and Charlie Brown and Linus are all bundled up while Snoopy is outside in the cold and he's shivering. Look at that poor puppy. Anyway, Charlie Brown and Linus get to talking about how, you know, they should do something to comfort Snoopy. And so they walk on over to Snoopy and say, "Be of good cheer, Snoopy." And then, you know, Charlie Brown and Linus, you know, and he says, "Yeah, be of good cheer." And then Charlie Brown and Linus walk away, leaving Snoopy shivering in the cold. And Snoopy just responds with that thought bubble with a question mark, like, "Yeah, like that helps me, right? Thanks." Yeah. And you have to kind of, you know, for those of you who, you know, like the Peanuts, you know that Schultz was a man of faith of some degree, you know. And you could tell this comes right out of that text, doesn't it? The point is, right, though, saving faith is more than just expressing a feeling of sympathy or empathy. Think about it. How in the world does it help, you know, to say to someone, "You know, I really feel for you, man. You could sit out there and shiver in the cold." People on the internet would scream about a freezing puppy outside, but not really care that much if it's some person. Anyway, you can't walk away and do nothing with that, right? Again, a saving faith is not just something we feel. Third, a saving faith is not just something we think. Got to think, though, but it's not just something we think. There is an intellectual side of faith, just like there's an emotional side of faith. But for some people, faith is just some kind of a mental exercise. You know what I mean? It's something to be studied and discussed and to be debated. That's what faith is to them. But again, here's what James says in verses 18 and 19. He says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that. Shudder." Okay, so what James did here was imagine for us this intellectual objector, right? Who says, "I have faith, you have deeds. That's cool, right? You have got your thing, I've got my thing. We're all okay, right?" Yeah, wrong, you know? James says it doesn't work that way. And that's because a faith that saves is more than just something you think. It's got to be demonstrated or practiced. It's got to be put into action. And to make his point, James brings up demons. Appropriate for Halloween, right? Demons. Telling us that if our faith is only intellectual or emotional, then it's really not any different than the faith of demons. Think about that. Demons believe in God, and it causes them to shudder. That's about it. And you know what I mean, right? There are a lot of people who have a strong belief in God and the Bible. They can cite book, chapter, and verse. They can talk about doctrine, but what they think or believe doesn't change their lives. It doesn't impact the lives of those around them. You know, Satan, got Satan and his demons, right? They are not atheists. If anyone ever says Satan and the demons are not atheists, they believe in God intellectually. They even try to use scripture and theology to trick us. Just like Satan tried to trap Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when he's tempted in the wilderness, right? Satan knows all about scripture. Satan believes in God. The demons believe in God. But their belief doesn't impact their life. It doesn't change their course. It doesn't change their actions. They merely shudder or bristle. Ooh. No, their hair stands up on end, kind of like watching a spooky movie or reading a spooky or scary story. You get that little hair sticking up and you shudder at the thought of God. But here, think about this though. what would cause a demon to shudder? What's a scary story for a demon? How about telling them about how Jesus cast thousands of demons into pigs? And they turn around and drown themselves. That would cause a demon to shudder. Or a pig, for that matter. How about telling them about how Jesus defeated Satan at the cross? That'd make them shudder, to say the least. The point is, saving faith is more than just having an intellectual belief. It's not just something we think. Okay. So far, James has told us that a saving faith is not just what we say, feel, or think, right? So what is a faith that saves? Well, James tells us, lucky us, right? A saving faith is something that we do. It's something that we do. Back in James chapter 2, and there in verse 18, he wrote, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Someone once said that faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can see the results. I like that analogy. I always used to use electricity. Calories are pretty good because people don't see calories. But think about electricity still. You know, you can't see electricity, but if you grab onto a bare 220-volt wire, you're going to see something. Maybe some smoke. Anyway. The point is, and I don't see how anyone can be connected to the God of the universe, not have some kind of a visible effect in their lives. Still, people do. Some people have trouble putting their faith into action. Take a look again at verse 17. There James says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And then again, down in verse 26, James concludes, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Now, the word that's translated as dead here in our text is the Greek word nekron, and it refers to being dead, like a corpse is dead. You know, I don't know, a lot of people do memorials nowadays, and I like that, but you've probably been to a funeral. I've been to a funeral. Funerals make me uncomfortable. I've done more funerals than weddings. It's just statistically the way it works. Two people get married. That's one wedding. Two people pass. That's two services. Anyway, you go by the casket, right? I prefer memorials, but people do funerals too. You go by the casket and you go by the corpse and it makes you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what. You hear people say, "They never look better." And I'm thinking, you're crazy. They look better back when they were alive, if you ask me. But we say things like that because we're nervous. We don't know what to say. They're all unnatural looking with enough makeup on them to make Dolly Parton look like she's not wearing makeup. You know, you have this unnatural body there. You have a shell with nothing in it. That's what makes us uncomfortable. The point is that we want to see in our text is that faith without works is just as empty as that lifeless corpse in a casket. And just like that makes us uncomfortable, a faith without deeds, without actions, without works should make us feel just as uncomfortable as being around that corpse. Because it's not natural. The thing is, there are people who have a dead faith, but they try to give their faith the appearance of life, and they throw a bunch of makeup on their faith, just like that corpse in the casket, you know. And so they show their face every now and then when the church meets. They might even carry a big old Bible with paper sticking all out of it saying, "Look at how much study I do," you know. But if you ask them about their faith, well, they might start talking about all kinds of doctrine, or they might start talking about how, "Well, my family has been a part of this church since it was dirt," you know. But, you know, A faith that saves is more than just something we say, right? It's more than something we feel. It's more than something we think. It's something that we do. So James shares a couple of examples of a saving faith from Hebrew history. Filling up the tank. Talks about Abraham and Rahab. So who were Abraham and Rahab? Well, you know, we kind of know who Abraham was, right? Some of us know about Rahab, but Abraham, he's a guy. Rahab is a gal. Abraham was Jewish. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham is this major biblical character, and Rahab is a minor one. Ahab is a patriarch. You know, Hebrews talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rahab, well, she's a prostitute. So why such an incredible contrast with the two examples here? Simply because James is telling us that it doesn't matter who you are, patriarch or prostitute, just as long as you have one important thing, a faith in God that leads to action. Abraham believed in God, and he left his homeland, and he went off with his wife and whatever possessions that he had and did whatever God told him to do. One of the things that Abraham believed was that God was going to give him children as numerous as the stars in the sky. The only problem is that when God was making those promises, Abraham and Sarah were childless. No children. Wouldn't be for 25 years until Isaac was born, their first child. And boy, it was a happy occasion. They laughed for a couple of reasons. Still, it was joyous. Then when Isaac was probably about 15 or 16, God commanded Abraham to take his one and only son up to a mountain and sacrifice him. For Abraham, nothing could have been more troubling and confusing than that command. But Abraham believed God and immediately obeyed him. But just as Abraham was about to do all that God commanded him, you know, sacrifice Isaac, God spoke to him and said in Genesis 22:12, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. I now know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And so Abraham's faith was demonstrated by his actions. In other words, his works proved his faith. When it comes to Rahab, well, we first read about her in Joshua chapter 2. When the two spies were sent in by Joshua to check out Jericho, she had them hide on the roof and had the soldiers go off in a different direction. And then she listened to what she was told to do. When time came for Jericho to be destroyed, she was able to save her family in the end. Now, we don't know all that much else about Rahab, except that because she put her faith into action, she has the honor of being a part of the genealogy of Jesus. You could read about that in Matthew in the genealogy there. The point is, if you believe in God and Jesus, then we need to show it, right? Think about it. Actions do tend to speak louder than words, and that's because our behavior shows what we really believe. Now, just to make sure that people don't get the wrong idea and think that the only way that you can get to heaven is if you work your way there, that's not what James is saying, and that's not what I'm saying. I suppose the best way to make sense of it all is to read what the Apostle Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. There Paul writes, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The problem that a lot of people have who cite those two verses is they forget verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, when you choose to accept God's grace of salvation through Jesus Christ by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and commit to turning your life around and entering into that new covenant of Christ's blood by being immersed in the watery grave and washing away your sins, you have been saved by God's grace. That's because Jesus did the saving work on the cross. In other words, you can't do enough good things to be saved. You can't pray enough, give enough, sing enough, work enough to be saved. But as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, you are to serve like Jesus. You are to live like Jesus. You are to love like Jesus. You are to do good works like Jesus. And if you don't, you don't put your faith into action, then you don't have a faith that saves. The point is, a faith that saves is a faith that is alive and active. It's a faith that does. And so the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, do I have a faith that saves? In other words, is your faith just about saying and feeling and thinking things, or is it about doing things? Is your faith prompting you to worship God and serve God? Is your faith prompting you to fellowship with God's people and share your faith and with the lost? Is your faith prompting you to give and to love and to live like Christ? Those are questions that we need to reflect upon. May God help us all to have a faith that saves, to have a faith that works. And if your faith isn't all that God wants it to be, if your faith isn't working, then let me suggest that you're missing at least one part of the faith equation. But you need both, faith and works. Without both, your faith is dead. So if you're not a Christian, God tells us that we need to have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, act upon your faith and turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, and then rising up out of the water while you continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again or you go to be with him. For those of us who are already Christians, we just need to remember that our faith is a faith that's alive and it's active. And if your faith hasn't been, well, it's past time to give it a kickstart. So if anyone has a need to come forward this morning, whether it's to share, to seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the first time, as always, you're encouraged to come forward as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.